interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day Wednesday, February 27 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint live on 1037 The Game. And for the next 2 hours, we got you from inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Busy program today. Let's leap off with LSU over Texas A&M. We'll dive a little into the NFL Scouting Combine to begin today's show as well. And as always, we'll take your phone call, 706-0111. Full guest list for our two-hour tour today coming at the end of this segment. Will Wade, LSU, now 16 wins in the last 18 tries. Incredibly impressive. And not just the way that they did it, but who did it last night. As the Tigers improved to 13-2 in SEC play, and they've had three games in 6 days. They defended home court pretty darn well, I would say. The OT loss last midweek at Florida was standing. LSU has now won two straight without its floor general in Tremont Waters. I told you yesterday on the program, my gut was telling me he wouldn't play. And again, those of you that read into the Saturday situation as, okay, what's going on with that undisclosed illness? You thought it might have been something related to the Florida game, maybe a spat between coach and player. No chance. He was in the PMAC yesterday. He sat on the bench yesterday. I am slightly more concerned, although not gravely concerned, that this is about an undisclosed injury, not an illness. I think by this point, for example, Trey would have gotten over the flu. Nonetheless, we'll see exactly how available LSU starting point guard is at Bama this weekend and the next week at Florida versus Tennessee. This opening is about what LSU did without him last night. In particular, the performance of Naz Reid. And when you need him, he seems to show up. Or, I think as we learn, when you challenge him, he will respond. 18 points, 11 rebounds. That is what LSU needed from a 6'10", 6'11 big that is flirting with the idea of becoming a one-and-done, that thinks he has first-round talent. For what it's worth, I know he does. Can he be consistent enough to be a pro? That's another story. And that's a decision that he'll have to make and that the pro scouts will have to make. But last night, great bounce-back performance. The Aggies, not quite as formidable inside. The days of Robert Williams and company defending that paint for Coach Kennedy are gone. And so LSU, via Naz Reid, was able to feast on the interior. You heard the two-minute drill. How about 40 points in the paint? And then 18 makes out of 21 tries at the free-throw line. LSU won it old school last night. And sometimes that's just how you have to do it, getting back to basics when you don't have an electric performer like Waters. But Reid got back to doing what he does and even played a little more physical inside than perhaps what we're used to. Javonte Smart, hey, like Saturday, it wasn't always ultra efficient, but he got the job done. In the scoring column, 17 points. Second straight game where the freshman from Scotlandville Magnet has showed that he can carry the water when needed. And that might come in very large come NCAA tournament time. And then there's the unsung hero, Cavell Bigby Williams. 10 points, 11 rebounds. It's not pretty. It's not supposed to be. He remains that inside enforcer, the major deterrent at the rim, and a rebounder that LSU hasn't had, I'll continue to say, since Jordan Mickey was on campus. And so the way they won it last night, I think, is encouraging. I told you I thought it'd be closer than that 12-point spread Vegas was slapping on it. Hey, never a doubt. I had that in the bag, right? It was an 11-point game. Certainly the Tigers led by more than 11 for a good chunk of it. So they weren't as tested as maybe I thought they would be. But rewind that and go look at the score. A game that was played in kind of the low to mid-pace range. It wasn't run and gun. It wasn't Trey going bananas on people, as we've seen so far through what's been a 15-game SEC slate. They won a game that was played a different way, and they played well at home. That hasn't always been the case. In fact, they almost never defend well at home for two full halves. They did last night, holding that Texas A&M team to 55 points. The defense, for me, goes right up there, maybe at the top, along with Reed's performance. Points in the paint, free throws, as being very, very encouraging. And so LSU winning the games that it should, and as we saw Saturday, starting to win a few that, well, maybe they shouldn't, or that Vegas says they won't. The hallmarks of a good team have been in place for quite some time. But winning at somebody else's pace without your best player, those are more telltale signs that this LSU team is on pace to do some very special things down the stretch of this season. In fact, before we hit a break, got to let you hear from head coach Will Wade, and he opens up here some of his thoughts on how prepared that this LSU team was for Texas A&M.
Our guys prepared well. We guarded well. We took good shots. We didn't give them opportunities to get out in transition and really get them going. And so I thought our guys just, you know, we had a mature way about us. I think we tried to learn from your mistakes throughout the year. I think we learned and got better from some of the situations we had earlier in the year where we didn't respond as well after bigger victories.
And there was a major plateau reached last night as well. Skylar Mays, not quite as dynamic on a Tuesday night as he was Saturday in the Maravich Center, but he did finish with 11 points. That was enough to get LSU's junior to the 1,000-point mark. I want you to hear from Wade, and then I've got a note on Mays that might just surprise you.
Apropos, he made it on a free throw, right? Is that correct? Technical
yeah,
free throw. So, best free throw shooter makes it on a free throw. So, no, but very, very happy for him. Just shows his consistency and how hard he works. And it's a great, I think there's, what is that, 41? 41 in the program's history. So, he'll be moving on up. We've got plenty more points to score.
Just stellar usage there from Wade of apropos. But I'm going to tell you something that maybe you haven't thought of yet. And it was brought up to me last night. Somebody who is just loving this LSU basketball run. Man, what got into Skylar Mays? How did he turn into this type of player? Well, let me share this with you. On top of improvement in his body, just physically, the way he sculpted himself since he got to college, on top of some of the things he's done to play better off the ball, namely as a shooter and defensively. He came up through the high school ranks, the AAU ranks as a point guard. On top of those things that are physical in nature, right, on the court stuff, I want you to consider this. We talk all the time about how important it is for consistency between an offensive coordinator and a quarterback, right? Oh, this poor kid, he's been through three systems in 3 years. Take a little trip about Skylar Mays with me, will you? Junior year in high school, played for a state champ, U-High in Baton Rouge. Senior year in high school, transferred, played at Finley Prep in Nevada. Freshman year of college, was recruited by, played for Johnny Jones. Sophomore year of college, year one of the Will Wade era. Catching my drift now? 4 straight years of musical chairs, changing pieces, a different coach every year. He's finally got some consistency. It's not a surprise to me that Skylar Mays is doing some of the things that you see once every week during the weekdays. And then again, on Saturdays, he has been absolutely fantastic. All right, before we hit a break, one more from Will Wade. You want to know an update on Trey Waters? Here you go.
He's doing much better. It was just kind of our call to sit him for tonight. He's probably not quite 100%, but he's very, very close. And I suspect he'll practice with us for a few days and be ready to go against Alabama. He probably could have maybe played a little bit tonight, but he hadn't practiced. He hadn't been real active, and so we didn't feel like that was fair to him or fair to our team.
You say illness. I say injury. Tomato, tomato. I agree with the decision to sit him if it's 50-50 at this point. All right, big show today. Brian Snow is going to join us, his usual spot, at 4:30. One of the questions I've got for B. Snow, if you're picking an SEC horse to ride come tourney time, you riding Kentucky, Tennessee, or LSU? Yeah, we got a lot to get to. Brian Snow, our only guest this hour at 4:30. At 5:05, Mac Chewilly, founder, CEO, Traction Sports Performance. You listen to this program long enough, you've heard Mac before. They work out a lot of players that head to the NFL Scouting Combine, and that's why Mac is top of mind for us today. He'll join the program at 5:05. And to the victor go the interviews. Christopher Kovach, head basketball coach at Karen Crow High School, going to be with us on our way out today at 5:45. The real Coach K. Big show today. Stick with us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Back in, ready to switch it over to the Underwear Olympics? Yeah, kind of. At least that's what I used to call the NFL Scouting Combine. Still do. On occasion, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Let off with LSU hoops, and we'll get back to basketball in our next segment, 4:30 interview with Brian Snow. But right now, let's talk about the Combine. Let's gauge how important you think the annual event in Indy is. Here's what we do know in terms of a timeline. Everybody started reporting yesterday. Having covered that event in person, the year that Odell Jarvis came out, I know that it's one of those nerve-wracking times for players where some of them are worried about their physicals. Some of them are worried about their on-field performance, their metrics. But the vast majority of them, if they're worried, are concerned about some of the in-person interviews, maybe not necessarily the Wonderlic test itself, but just how they're going to come off to a prospective employer. And I'm not trying to put it on these young men because, well, think about how you are. Think about how I am. If we go to a job interview, yeah, that's typically the most nerve-wracking part. Sit in a chair and get peppered with questions. Of course, imagine some of the questions that they get peppered with. Some of them I can't even repeat on the air. But Dez Bryant, yeah, he's been asked what his mom did for a living, and that's the nice way of putting it. Some of these others, questions have come up about orientation. So, yeah, these are even more probing questions that they're staring down the barrel of. But everybody started the report yesterday. That means a lot of physicals started yesterday, going on today. And so really a lot of coach GM speak at the NFL Scouting Combine. And so while we're on the precipice, while we're getting ready for what I call the Underwear Olympics, I've got a question in mind for you. It's coming on the other side of the music.
Exciting and new.
On a 1 to 10 scale, obviously with 10 being the highest, how important is the NFL Scouting Combine to a player's NFL draft prospects? Take that question and run with it how you'd like, because me personally, I actually divide it into those three different areas, and I'll rank all three of them for you. The physical, the interviews, and then the actual numbers, the type of stuff that you see on the mothership and the NFL Network. But feel free. Divide them up. Put it all as one. Just call us and give us an answer. 1 to 10 scale, how important really is this week in Indy? If you're a kid that wants to get drafted, what do you think? 706-0111. Here's how I slice the pie. To me, the least important part of this week are the actual numbers and metrics, the stats that they put up. Yeah, they want to see for certain positions if you can break that 4.8 barrier in the 40. At other positions, they'd like to see you break 4.5, 4.4.5. But ultimately, the tape is always going to outweigh what you actually do on the field. For that reason, I'm going to say that the numbers they put up, the actual macho, sort of, mimicking football parts, maybe a 2 or a 3 out of 10, I think that is so overhyped and overvalued when it comes to, okay, where is this guy going to get drafted? We put a little too much emphasis into that. Kind of moving up the ladder in terms of my stepping stones here, I think that if you were to look at the physical portion of it, that may be closer to a 5 out of 6. Now, obviously, if it's damning for you, it's 10 out of 10 important. If you go in and have a history of injuries and the physical doesn't bode well for you, or if you go in and you hit the Chiba the week before, that's not going to go well for you either. And so then it could be a 10 out of 10. But for the most part, kind of fair to middling, middle of the road type grade for me. The most important part of this week, far and away, in my opinion, is the interviews. That could be considered a 7, maybe an 8 out of 10. But overall, never forget that what you did in college, the numbers that you posted there, what the eye in the sky showed, far outweighs what's going to happen this week in Indy. Because here's the other thing, some inside scoop. Whatever you say in those interviews, it can help your cause, it can hurt your cause. But trust me, if they're thinking about drafting you, they already know. They've already asked people that you can't even fathom. They have paid PIs. They don't really need to know. They just want to reaffirm it when it comes to you in person. That's my experience. That's what I think. Let's get your 2 cents. Out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Randy, thanks for waiting. How important is this week?
Ben, you busted my bubble, because I think what you just said about what you did in college is, that's what it's all about. What happens this week, oh well. You know, I just think what happened in college is the guiding post.
I completely agree. You can reaffirm things this weekend, or if your physical, your interview doesn't go well, you could show them that, all right, well, the beast that we saw in college, there might be some wear and tear on those tires, or he may not have the discipline that we're looking for. But you're right, what's on tape is always going to rule.
Correct. And it might help the number 3 and 4 round picks, but as far as the upper echelon, it is what it is. And that's my thought.
Well, I got some response to that. Randy, you know I appreciate the call. Let's get some more. Come dive into the deep end on this one with us. 706-0111. Because Randy brought up a great point at the end there. If you're upper echelon, here's what I think about this week and if you're considered first round coming in. You could probably only hurt yourself at the combine if you're upper echelon. Yeah, I know they want quarterbacks to throw. There are very prominent examples of quarterbacks who didn't throw, went first round. They're doing quite fine. Thank you very much. But my point is this. If you, for example, go the Warren Sapp route, if you, for example, go the direction of players who they fail a drug test this week and you were thought to be first round prior, something tells me that this week a year ago didn't go as swimmingly for Darius Geis as maybe all of us would like to believe that it did. Otherwise, I don't think that the sabotage we saw unfold the day of the draft, a couple days leading up to the draft, I don't think that was isolated. My guess is some of that began at the scouting combine. So, yeah, if you're upper echelon, you probably can only hurt yourself this week. But I'll give you a great example of some of those mid-round guys. And I said it with Shea Dixon yesterday. This could be icing on the cake to improving draft stock and ultimately dollar bills for Foster Moreau. Because the other thing this week can do is solidify in the minds of GMs and evaluators, holy crap, the guys that had this player in college, the coaches that had this guy in college, they didn't know what they were doing with him. Or they didn't know how much he could do. They didn't utilize him to his capacity. You know where this train's headed, right? How many LSU guys at receiver that didn't have the stats that Pac-12, Big 12 guys had hit the combine and, oh, my God, the scouts realized, look what this guy can do. Are you kidding me? didn't see that at LSU, or at least not as often. So, yes, this week can help some of those guys that maybe were fringe middle rounders to move up in weight class a little bit. And it's not just the Miles offense at LSU that I'm throwing a little pre-shade at right now. I think it happens to players around the country. If they are miscast in college, this is the week where they can prove it. All right, let's get back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Steve from the Berry. How are you, my man?
All right, Dan. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, just living
life. All I got to say is I don't believe in that either. Look at the Honey Badger. He didn't run fast. He didn't do much on the power lift. What about Marcus Colston? He was the last pick in the draft. I don't weigh too much in that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think this week is anywhere near the be-all, end-all. Steve, we hope to see you Friday over at Rufino's, brother. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's my man. Steve weighs in, and he gives a few good examples. You know, what's funny is, let's think about, I guess, how this relates to Saints terms. How did this week go for an Alvin Kamara? I think there were some that liked him, but I think Sean Payton had already done his due diligence, for example. I think the Tennessee Pro Day was probably more important for Kamara and landing in New Orleans where he did, as far as the draft goes. I think his Pro Day was more important than the scouting combine. And again, we'll have Mac Chewilly on at 5:05. I'm not trying to undermine all that this week is about. Just don't forget, there are more important things. There are other things than just the scouting combine. And you just heard me say to Steve from the Berry, we're going to have a big time this Friday. Rufino's on the River. The invitation goes out to all OYP, you people out there in listener land. It's your chance to meet Ruffin Rodri. If you hear him every Monday, and you've always wondered, what's he like in person? Come find out. He's even more entertaining. I can promise you that. From 4 to 6:30, Bumper to Bumper Sports will be live Friday at Rufino's on the River. We'll be set up in the bar area. But, yeah, we'll be taking over the patio as well. Trev Falk will join us at 4:30. A couple of other celebrity guests as well. And you can enter to win Houston Astros tickets this Friday at Rufino's on the River. Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
Iron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Back in, and here we go back to the hardwood. We'll talk some LSU, SEC, and college basketball with our next guest. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. It's Wednesdays. That means you know what time it is. Let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Great to have back Brian Snow, basketball recruiting analyst, 247 Sports. How are you, Brian?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I need some national perspective on what I think is national news involving a local coach. Will Wade, Sean Miller, according to a report 2 days ago, are going to be subpoenaed to testify at a federal corruption trial, April the 22nd. Is this just something you expected, business as usual? Is this a big deal? What's your reaction?
I don't know that I'd call it business as usual. I mean, I don't think we've seen it happen before, so it's tough to call it business as usual. But I don't think any of us really know what it means. First of all, we don't even know if these guys would have to testify, if they'd be called to testify. We don't even know if it's going to go to trial. I just think there's so much we don't know right now that I don't want to jump to too many conclusions on what it means, because we just don't know what's next. We don't have any idea. We've never seen anything like this. We don't know what the judge is going to allow to be asked and things of that nature. I mean, you looked at it in the last set of trials, basically the judge said, yeah, you guys could try to talk about all you want. I ain't letting you do it. Period. End of story. So you just don't know what's going to happen here. And I think it's certainly not business as usual, because this is abnormal business. But at the same time, it might be a whole lot about nothing. We're just going to have to wait and find out.
A brief, I guess, follow-up or an aside there. If the FBI does call Wade, Miller, others to come forth and testify. Clearly, they're looking to fry bigger fish, right? They've got a wire fraud case, and these coaches are means to an end there. However, if there are some things said on the stand that potentially give the NCAA ammunition, what do you make out of that, given the NCAA's track record or lack thereof of having any teeth whatsoever? If this gets dumped in the lap of the NCAA, does anything happen from there in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the NCAA specifically changed the rules. I don't know if it was because of this or not, but specifically changed the rules that they can now use court testimony, you know, sworn testimony as evidence in NCAA cases. That used not to be the case. It used to have to be the NCAA did the investigation themselves, and they were the ones who had to find it. Now, if they get this evidence and it is something that is not a good look for whomever it might be, then, yeah, there could be and further NCAA fallout. I don't think either Miller or Wade are in any way in danger of their freedom, so to speak, being taken from them based on what they say. Yeah, quite honestly, like the government they've already heard the wiretaps. They know what's on there. So if they had anything on those guys, they would have charged them. And clearly they haven't done it. So clearly they don't have anything that they did that was illegal against the law. Now, does that mean there's not anything on there that's illegal against NCAA rules? Obviously, we don't know that. We'll have to find out if indeed, you know, tapes are played and or, you know, statements are made.
Just the perspective we were seeking. All right, let's move it on. Action between the lines. Our guest now, Brian Snow on Twitter, at BSnow247. I'll stick with the SEC. And which horse from this conference, Brian, would you ride in the big dance if you had to pick now between LSU, Tennessee, or Kentucky?
If I had to pick now, and I've gone back and forth on this, obviously, I would probably pick Kentucky. I just think they're playing the best out of anybody right now. I think they have the best combination of talent in just how they're playing. But I still haven't given up on Tennessee. I know they're not the most talented team out there. And I know they've come up short in some big games, clearly, you know, against LSU, against Kentucky. But I just like their combination of veteran leadership and depth and, you know, the fact that everybody on that roster has been there. They know what to expect. LSU doesn't quite have that. But for right now, I would go with Kentucky, but none of it would surprise me. I think there's a lot left to shake out here to see what happens.
Brian, you hail from Big Ten country, and there are a number of teams, I think, from that conference that could have their fingerprints all over March Madness. How is the Big Ten going to shake out regular season? And is there maybe one team from the conference that you've got pegged and you're kind of thinking, you know what, they may not win this thing in the regular season, but you probably don't want to see them come postseason time?
I tend to think Purdue is going to win the Big Ten regular season. They got the best schedule going forward. They kind of hit the luck of the draw in terms of who they played twice and who they played once. So I tend to think Purdue's going to end up winning the Big Ten championship. If I had to pick one Big Ten team, however, to make a run, it's still going to be Michigan. Purdue's too one-dimensional. They don't score real well in the post, and they don't drive you real well off the dribble. They're a straight jump shooting team, and I don't know how well that's going to work for them in the tournament. So, and then Michigan State, Nick Ward, we don't know when he's coming back, and we know Joshua Langford's not coming back, and I just don't think they're talented enough without those two guys. So I'll stick with Michigan. Michigan has shown under John Beilein that they can make runs in the tournament. They're kind of the team I would point to out of the Big Ten.
Finishing up now with Brian Snow here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Kansas basketball. It feels like life, death, taxes, and Kansas winning the Big 12. And whether or not that actually happens in the regular season, is this a group under Bill Self that you think could be reliable come conference tourney time and then into the big dance?
Not even a little bit. I mean, this is a team, they get out of Fall Down Fieldhouse, and I'm not sure they could beat me, you, and three folding chairs. I mean, they're just a different team on the road, and obviously tournament games are played on the road. So therefore, I don't have a lot of faith in them to win long term, especially in a tournament setting. But Bill Self has done a good job with this team this year, given the injuries and everything that's gone on, suspensions, whatever the case is with LeGerald Vick. But I just don't trust them to win games on the road, win games away from Fog Allen Fieldhouse. So while they do have some talent and they do have a bit of a track record, they're not a team I'm going to be rolling with.
I hope the folding chairs, brother, can spot up from deep, because frankly, I'm going to have to play on a block in that type of scenario. I don't know where you want to be, but we may need the folding chairs in that scenario.
We just need them more for defense.
That's true. We can hold them over our heads, and it's just literally standing on the shoulders of giants. Brian, you know we appreciate you doing this. Go take your next unofficial. We'll catch up with you on Wednesday.
All right, I appreciate it.
Brian Snow, basketball recruiting analyst, 247 Sports. I always love people's different versions, right? Some people say me, you, or four guys and the janitor. Brian went with folding chairs, and that's an interesting analogy. He also went with the two teams that LSU has beaten in the last, 2 weeks now? Tennessee at home, Kentucky on the road. He went with the two teams that LSU has beaten as ones that he might trust a little more come NCAA tournament time. So we've got a little bit of time carved out at the end of this segment. I want to address that. We can take a call if you'd like. 706-0111. If I've offended you and you're related to a folding chair, don't call in for that. But LSU versus Tennessee, Kentucky in the pecking order. I think they have shown that head-to-head, boy, you better respect them. They've played those two teams combined two times, and they've beaten them. As I mentioned, one home, one away. The perception, I believe, is that their coach and their young players aren't ready for something they haven't yet experienced. When it comes to Wade, that's harder for me to buy. It's just harder for me to buy that part, because he was on board with Shaka Smart. Those VCU teams not only went into the NCAA tournament every year, they were usually, as memory serves, like a 5, 6, 7 seed. I think he knows what the NCAA tournament's about. And I also believe he took Tennessee Chattanooga there. I don't think tournament basketball is going to send Will Wade off kilter. Even compared to guys like Barnes at Tennessee, Calipari at Kentucky. Where I could see the argument a little bit is LSU's players. Because here's the thing. I've been telling you every single week on this show that being young is no longer an excuse in college basketball. Everybody's young. But here's the difference between LSU's version of young and a lot of other teams. Kentucky starts a bunch of freshmen. Duke starts a bunch of freshmen. Here's the difference. Kentucky and Duke go to the NCAA tournament every year. Except for that one time Kentucky didn't and got beaten by Robert Morris. But that's a laugh that we can have at their expense later. You get my point. Even the young guys that are around, the sophomores, the juniors, your equivalent of what Skylar Mays, Trey Waters would be right now, those guys at Kentucky and Duke tasted the postseason the year prior. They made deep runs in their respective conference tournaments. So I could see where LSU may not be getting the national respect yet. Credibility, the ability to believe in them come March, because their players haven't been there, done that yet. But they might just surprise you. I mean, they've won 16 of their last 18 games. They're 13-2 in the conference. So, yeah, Naz Reid, Javonte Smart, and then the two 3/4 guys that, if you haven't noticed, are starting to play a little less, Darius Days, Emmett Williams. Yeah, they haven't been there, done that before. But I think there's a chance that they make a little run out of this. Their reputation, their record so far this season would suggest as much. All right, final break of the hour. When we return, let's take some more of your phone calls. Get closer to Mac Chewilly at 5:05. Christopher Kovach, the real Coach K, at 5:45. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Coming down the stretch of the 4 o'clock hour, you're dialed in to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Busy times right now here at Acadiana Sports Station. Clint and I are taking you to 6 o'clock, and then it's going to be Don Allen and Five Guys Stories and Lies. I'm told to have SDM basketball coach Danny Broussard here in the 237 Roof Studios for the entire 7 o'clock hour. That will be fun radio. And because of that, and because Dave has Danny Broussard on what feels like once every other day, I tried to go a different direction. So again, Karen Crow fans, Christopher Kovacs will be with us at 5:45. And at that point, we'll make a little announcement about Karen Crow hoops and, knock on wood, might have some broadcasts involving those Golden Bears sooner than later. Mac Chiwilli will be with us here in about 15 minutes. You want to get a call in between now and then, we welcome that. 706-0111. And there are some big picture notes on LSU basketball that Cody Worsham made I want to share with you, because all these things play into where you get seated, who you play against, all those fun things, right? We know that LSU's got three left in the regular season, at Bama, at Florida, versus Vanderbilt. And Vandy, still yet to win a game inside the conference. Boy, you got to feel good about that one. But the two ahead of the Commodores, both Bama and Florida, are going to be quadrant one games, according to Cody Worsham, LSU Sports. I didn't quite realize that. I know that they're both clawing for postseason positioning, but that's particularly big because LSU's form against those type of teams, quadrant one teams, has been pretty darn good this year. LSU currently 8-2 in such games. And so take a little bit of a trip with me, would you? If LSU can win those two, especially both on the road, if the Tigers finish 10-2 in quadrant one games, they own multiple wins against top five teams, including one on the road. I think there's a real chance that a team with that resume that finishes the regular season at 26-5, 16-2, I think unless things go off the rails in St. Louis, where, by the way, LSU has now clinched the double bye, unless things go off the rails, LSU, with that resume, is going to be a two seed. It's absolutely unfathomable to me. Some of you out there, if you had this pegged, good on you. But you look at some of the other metrics, they continue to trend in the right direction. Forget about the rankings. Depending on where you look, LSU is either 13 or 14. Some of the other outside numbers would seem to support that. In the all-important net rankings, as of this morning, LSU number 13. In terms of the RPI, number 11. And in terms of the strength of schedule, and again, this one surprised me a little bit too, Tigers are 14. That'll take a little bit of an uptick at Bama, at Florida, and then it'll come right back down to earth versus Vandy. So strength of schedule probably will hover around that and in there when the regular season culminates. Strength of schedule, 14. And there's been so much talk. Again, two mentions in one segment of Dave Schultz. Must have an obsession with the host of Sports Chat here or something like that. But he always talks about the nitty-gritty. And you know what Dave's trying to do. He wants more games between LSU and UL, and that's the agenda that he wants. That's the bus he drives. Respect to it. It's not my thing. It's his thing. But the bigger overall point may be, is LSU doing enough with its non-conference scheduling? And from what Houston, Florida State, to an extent, St. Mary's have done since entering their conference play, I think it's kind of buoyed LSU a little bit. And as much as we lament the home schedule, who's coming to the PMAC prior to SEC play, the lack of an SEC Big 12 conference game for LSU, which frankly they can't control, as much as we lament that, I think that number I just shared with you speaks volumes that they've really done all they need to do to put themselves in whatever consideration that they'd like for postseason pole positioning. For LSU to have the number 14 strength of schedule in the country, I'm just saying that shocked me a little bit when I read that. But you look at the SEC, the number of teams that are locks to go to the big dance, the number of teams that are on the bubble, it's going to be a league that probably gets six teams in, maybe with an outside shot at seven. Six seems like a good number, but still, when you have that many teams that are going in, when you play some of them twice, others once, when Houston helps you with every solitary win that they continue to stack, LSU suddenly looking like they might just be in good position. So to heck with number three being the ceiling, as I've suggested to you in the past on this show, they could end up as a number two seed. And they might have an opportunity if they wade into uncharted waters, and the pun intended there with Wade, but if they get into those type of waters and they get to and maybe even win an SEC conference championship, if they get to that final game even on Sunday, that's just not something that we're used to. Historically, that's not a tournament that goes well for LSU. But the way they're playing now, if they get Trey Waters back, I know Wade is saying that Sunday seems likely if he gets just a little bit more rest. This team, playing the way they are, 16 out of 18, and they're playing even better on the road than at home, and they get Waters back after building some confidence in Smart, whoa. They'll need to continue to defend like they did last night. They'll have to make sure that guys like Emmett Williams, Darius Days, stay engaged. They only played 23 combined minutes last night. And so when Waters comes back, the temptation is shorten that rotation to really six plus. You're going to have to be careful there because some of these freshmen can help you. Their energy, the way they offensive rebound, just too necessary in my opinion. All right, before we wind down, hour number one, about one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Prep, and it's amazing. A number of former NFL players are taking their talents down to the prep level to coach. Hey, in this area, we're familiar with that. Kevin Falk, among others, cut his teeth at Karen Crow High. On the coaching side, now he's over at LSU helping out Ed Ogeron's staff. We've all heard of Trent Dilfer. He's back in the Tennessee area, head coach at a high school. But how about this news shared earlier today? Former Saints wide receiver Robert Meacham is joining the De La Salle High School staff. He's going to be the wide receivers coach. So if you're Turley's Catholic, if you're STM, you might just catch Robert Meacham on the other sideline in the playoffs this coming year. Prep, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're halfway home ourselves, coming right back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of two underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And we got you, bringing you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios. More B2BS coming at you here on 103.7 The Game. Momentarily, Matt Chewilly will join us to talk NFL Scouting Combine, and Christopher Kovach, head basketball coach at Karen Crow High. His Bears advance to the state quarterfinals, second straight year. They play Friday against Livonia. We'll have a chat with the real Coach K at 5:45. How about a bit of news for you, though, to lead off the hour? So far, so good. You need to knock on wood for that because LSU Southern still on in Baton Rouge. No weather right now at the PMAC. And so Eric Walker, against all odds, it seems, might just get to make his first start of this 2019 LSU baseball season. And news from last night came out right after the show on a Tuesday. Johnny Manziel released by the Montreal Alouettes of the Canadian Football League. All they will say is that basically he violated some extensive terms that they had for him going in. Some of those terms, it's being speculated via a USA Today report before Manziel even started to play. Weekly therapy appointments, mandatory doctor visits, and monthly lithium tests. The lithium, of course, to help treat his diagnosed bipolar disorder. So the one-time Heisman Trophy winner from Texas A&M, no longer with the Canadian Football League. As he said, exploring options back in the States. We'll see what comes of that. Right now, we're taking a trip out to Baton Rouge aboard the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. It's great to have back Mac Chewilly, founder, CEO, Traction Sports Performance. How are you, Mac?
Hey, Ben. How's it going, man? Always good to talk to you.
You as well. Look, things are good on this side of the basin, but we've been debating just how important the NFL Scouting Combine is. And I know that you deal with these young men a lot on a physical basis that you help to prep, but when you consider the interviews, the physicals, everything, how do you evaluate just what this week means to a prospect that's making his way toward the draft?
I mean, I think it's really important. I think for guys, you know, that are bona fide first-round picks, it's not that big of a deal. But for all the other guys, you know, that play at smaller schools or don't get to play against SEC schedules and things like that, you know, you get to size these guys up right next to the guys that are the first-round draft picks. And what happens a lot of times with these combines is you get a guy from a Middle Tennessee or a, you know, Oklahoma or somebody in that, you know, Big 12 run-and-gun, you know, conference where he's a defensive player and he doesn't get a lot of recognition. Well, now he's lining up next to the Alabama guys and the LSU guys. And, you know, pound for pound, speed for speed, how well does he move in space? And they make big names for themselves. So I think the process is about evening the playing field. You know, in college football with so many teams, it's tough to even the playing field. And what the combine does is it takes these guys and evens the playing field without schemes and coaching. It's just, you know, who's the better athlete, who has the better measurables. And I think that that's what the combine process is really all about.
Mac Chewilly, our guest. We're talking combine prep on 103.7 The Game. And I've heard it said time and again, Mac, that this is a huge defensive tackle class. You guys have been working with a couple of them over at Traction. Let's take them one at a time, and we'll start with a guy LSU fans are likely familiar with, Dontavius Russell, defensive tackle from Auburn. Tell us about him and his preparation getting ready for this week and then April's draft.
Well, Dontavius is a great athlete, man. He's a big kid. He's going to be 6'2", 3", you know, 320-pound defensive tackle. He moves really, really well. He's going to run probably sub-5, which is really good for a guy like him. You know, he's been working with Coach Pete Jenkins over here. You know, he had some work to do on his technique as far as, you know, he's relied a lot on brute strength and power and being a big guy, but he's really honed in his skills on how to play the position of defensive tackle with Coach Pete. And, man, he's made tremendous progress, and I think he's going to do great at the combine and really shoot up some boards at the defensive tackle position.
Another player that you guys have been working with, a defensive tackle out of Oklahoma, Amani Bledsoe. And is he one of those guys that maybe has to fight against an offensive-heavy conference that you kind of mentioned, that type of stereotype?
Yeah, absolutely. Amani's a kid that's kind of been through a lot. You know, he's a highly touted prospect. But, you know, he had a year where he was injured. He got a year where he was suspended for, you know, he apparently took some bad supplement that cost him a year of eligibility. And then, you know, he fought back and had a great season last year and then got hurt in the bowl game, got hurt in the second quarter of the bowl game against Alabama this year. But, you know, he's going to go out there and he's an outside. He's a defensive end who can play inside as well. He's a little bit undersized, but he's really fast. I think he led the Big 12 in, you know, tackles in the backfield and all of that stuff last year. So he's a guy that's going to, you know, he really, really needs this combine to propel him back up because he doesn't have the same amount of film and stuff as the other guys do.
I want to ask you about another player from the SEC that y'all been working with, and I'm curious if he's been getting worked out a good bit by a former LSU Tiger that I know you have over there on staff in Ryan Clark. And the player in question, MJ McLaurin, a safety from Mississippi State.
Yeah, MJ is a big safety, man, and he's worked day in and day out with Ryan Clark. You know, Ryan, we have a big, big following of defensive backs and safeties here at Traction, as well as D-linemen, obviously, with Coach Jenkins. But he's worked day in and day out with Ryan Clark, not only position work, but Ryan follows him around the weight room and really gives him a hard time and pushes him because the kid has tremendous size. He has good speed. He plays a lot like Ryan. He hits hard. So he's a guy that Ryan really, really likes, and we think he's going to do well as well.
Mac Chewilly, our guest. You need to give him a follow if you haven't yet on Twitter, at MChewilly. Right, one more, if you don't mind, on Ryan Clark, because we see him on national television. He does a phenomenal job. He's with you guys, and he's helping to get younger kids and then even some of these older kids ready for their level of football. What do you think his path is? I've been asked that before. Is this a guy that could coach not just at LSU, but somewhere in the college, the NFL ranks? Do you think he's got the aspirations to do something like that?
I think so. You know, he might not say it out loud, but, you know, Ryan's passion is teaching defensive backs. You know, we have a special program here called DB Precision, which was founded by Ryan. And you know, we have, you know, if you name somebody in the NFL that's a star defensive back, from Landon Collins to Kentrell Bryce to Robbie Alford to Tremont Smith and Mike Ford, you know, we have Tracy Porter, you know, we have guys, you know, Justin Reed. We have that group of guys that comes in and trains at Traction every offseason is really special, man. And it's a fraternity of guys that come back and train and work hard. And, you know, we're located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You know, it takes a special guy to get those guys to come down here and not to go to Miami or Arizona or one of those places. So, you know, he loves to teach. You know, he does it on the high school level. You know, obviously his son's going to Arizona State to play, and he's always, you know, helping out the LSU defensive backs and, you know, obviously how close we are to LSU. And I believe he's going to coach someday. It might be when Jordan's done playing, his son. I don't know if he wants to do it before his son's done playing, but if I had to bet a significant amount of money, I would say he'll end up being a college coach or an NFL coach someday for sure.
I'm going to take your word for that. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you about this LSU crop of kids going to the combine, but I think some of the work that you and I put in last year paid dividends. We talked, as many people in South Louisiana do, Mac, about the lack of LSU players going to the Saints. Boom. Now we got Will Clapp. So we did something right last year. We had this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as a big Saints fan, I'm always rooting for guys to end up in the black and gold, you know. I never understood why we didn't get more. As much as I believe purple and gold and black and gold, you know, it's just, you know, I'm a big fan, and I always root for these guys to get there and to play for the Saints. So I'm hoping we can pick up a few more of these guys. But I think they got a couple of good guys in this draft as well.
And I'm going to go there next as we finish up with Mac Chiuilli, founder, CEO, Traction Sports Performance, located in Baton Rouge. But as he told you, they handle athletes at the prep level, the college level, from all over the place. All right, I'm interested in Devin White because LSU fans know what he's about. Those who've covered him understand as well. But I think there was this stereotype for a while that, kind of like running backs, Mac, you don't take an inside linebacker, a tackling machine, with the top 5 or 10 pick. What makes Devin White different, and what makes you confident that he could be a guy that earns that type of money and that type of draft pick?
Well, I think that, you know, first and foremost, that it's not that he's such a freak show, because he is. I think it's his leadership, man. I think it's the way he carries himself. You know, the fact that he played every game and he comes back and plays even when he doesn't have to. I think those are the kind of things that you saw with the Ray Lewis's of the world and the Mike Singletary's of the world going way back, and what the kind of impact they can have on the defense, man. And, you know, from every scout we talk to and everybody, coach we come across, man, Devin White is a special, special player coming out of college, and he's going to be an immediate impact player on the NFL level. So I think that, you know, as far as draft picks go, these things kind of change from time to time. You know, running backs don't get picked early, linebackers, and, you know, and it just changes. But when you got a guy that's such an impact player, that is such a good guy in general and such a leader, I think those are the guys that you feel good about investing in. You know, to use the business term, if you're going to invest a whole bunch of money, man, I mean, he is the kind of guy you'd like to do it to.
All right, let's finish, as we're talking LSU prospects right now, let's finish with Foster Moreau. And with my limited knowledge, Mac, of how these things work, going to the combine, the way scouts view players, it occurs to me, after his Senior Bowl, his size, his skill set, he's got a chance to move up some boards. From your point of view, the guys that you talk to, would you look at physically with that young man, would you agree, and if so, why?
100%, man. He's a big kid. He's a fast kid. You know, you heard all about him at the Senior Bowl. I think that he's going to climb boards. You know, with LSU, those guys don't get used that often. So I think that he's going to be a guy, a sneaky guy, that, you know, most people don't know about. But the one thing I've learned about this whole process is the NFL teams know about you, you know, and they do their research, and they know athletes and you know, kind of, you know, great talent when they see it. And I think that he's going to be a guy that surprises everybody about where he gets taken in the draft.
Mac, as always, you know I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. look, you work with these LSU guys, even the Cajuns on this side of the basin. Let us know. We'd love to have you on to talk some more about them.
Hey, thank you, Ben. Anytime, man. Always a pleasure.
Mac Tuilli, founder, CEO, Traction Sports Performance. A guy with one of the most interesting jobs that I know, frankly, and the different way that they can impact kids from the high school level that have had injuries, that are trying to improve, go to the college level, and then college to pros, as we just kind of ran through a litany of guys. Pretty impressive stuff over in Baton Rouge. All right, first break of the hour. When we return, we're going to open up the phone lines. Probably the last time we'll be able to do that in today's show. We can talk some LSU, little UL hoops as well if we have time. Then we throw the shade, then Christopher Kovach. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're reporting back for duty shortly on 103.7 The Game.
GolfBalls.com and 103.7 The Game want to give you the ultimate tour experience. Enter in the clubhouse on 103.7thegame.com for your chance to win a brand new Callaway Epic driver, a spot in the 103.7 The Game Chittimacha, Louisiana Open Pro-Am, four Skybox tickets to all 4 days of the Chittimacha, Louisiana Open, and a dozen 103.7 The Game golf balls. This can be won by registering in the clubhouse on 103.7thegame.com. Powered by GolfBalls.com and Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Part of the game plan. We wanted to get him involved early, get him in there. You know, we knew we had a mismatch. You know, they played the small four with Flag. So we knew we had a mismatch. We wanted to get the ball into him, and he did a great job. He almost had a double-double in the first half, I think. Is that correct? 10-8, yeah. So he was awesome. I knew he was going to bounce back.
Got to love it when Will Wade has to make sure. You think that guy doesn't know the stats? Yeah, he's talking about Naz Reid. 10-8 at the half. The big fella finished with 18-11. In LSU last night, 66-55 winners over Texas A&M. How about 16 out of 18 in the win column? Tigers now 13-2. We'll talk some LSU and UL basketball in this segment. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open as well, 706-0111. For those that just shuffled in, 5 o'clock crowd, Tigers continue to do what they need to without Trey Waters. And after the game, Wade said, if push came to shove, Trey probably could have played last night. He'll get a few more days rest. He anticipates that the sophomore point guard will be back for Saturday's game at Alabama. And per Cody Warsham, LSU Sports digital media reporter, at Bama Saturday, at Florida next week in the midweek, those are both quadrant one games. And so LSU, currently 8-2 in those such games, has a chance to really pad the resume and keep stacking wins in that column before getting to St. Louis and the SEC tournament, where, by the by, LSU's got exactly that. They've got the double bye already secured. We can talk some LSU hoops, 706-0111. Otherwise, CD, I want to switch it over to Bob Marlin's group while we have some time here. Probably haven't paid enough attention on this show to the run that they've been making. I attended a game, oh man, it was about 3 weeks ago at this point, in the Cajun Dome, and they gave up about 103 that night. That was after coming off a road trip where they got beaten by a combined like 43 by Coastal and App State. All right, well, this is the week where the Cajuns get to run that back. They've got Coastal tomorrow night in the Cajun Dome, and then App State Sunday in the Cajun Dome. They've got a chance to right some wrongs there, and don't look now, but they're playing some better basketball, and they're in a position to maybe do some damage coming down the stretch of their regular season. UL, 3 out of 4 in the win column. They're now 7-7 in Sun Belt play and overall 16-11. We're not talking about a team that's even going to come close to earning an automatic bid. They were on fire last year, and they didn't get to that point, obviously. Didn't win the Sun Belt Conference tourney. Boom, NIT. What happened after? That's the reason why some in this area love Will Wade and others don't. But let's fast forward to this year. K Cajuns are certainly going to have to win the Sun Belt Conference tournament. Clint, I mentioned Coastal Thursday, App State Sunday. Both of those teams currently below the Cajuns in the conference standings. If they can get to 9-7, just how close is UL to securing at least one bye in the Lakefront Arena Sun Belt Conference Tournament second week in March?
Oh, they're pretty darn close, Ben. That being said, I think Thursday's a lot more important than what's been going down Saturday against App State, because Coastal Carolina's that one of those three teams that's tied with them right now for that fifth spot right now.
Warhawks being the other.
Yeah, Warhawks being the other. But like I said, you have two teams facing off against each other in that fifth seed. And if Coastal Carolina wins, then the Cajuns will tumble down to that seventh seed, and there will be no tiebreaker there. So honestly, I think this is a game that's going to kind of set the tone and keep you in good standing,
yes,
at this point in time, heading into the final three games of the season against App State, and then you got Little Rock and Arkansas State.
And that, I'm glad you led a horse to water, because that to me is exactly where I was heading next.
Yeah.
The Cajuns in these final four games of the regular season will play teams that are all at or below their station right now in the Sun Belt Conference, yep, standings. I mean, seriously, Coastal, 7-7. Arkansas State, 6-8. Little Rock, 5-9. And then at the bottom of the barrel, App State.
Yeah.
Formerly known as Appy State on this program.
Formerly known as Appy State. And
or on Cajun Red Zone Radio, which we sent the way of On the Trail and the Dodo Bird.
And the Alan Michaels Show.
And, oh, geez. Too soon.
Hey, I could have gone further
too
back.
Too soon. There's only like a day and a half left in February, and that's that's still too soon. But, you know, it's funny. It's just like Cajuns baseball. When we talk about these RPI matters,
yep,
the Cajuns aren't going to get theirs inside the conference. But really, that's all they got. They've got these four games, Coastal and App at home, Little Rock, Arkansas State on the road. They've got those four games, and then you're hoping what? What would it be, three in the Sun Belt, yeah, Conference Tournament? I think the immediate bye that they would get would put them in the quarterfinals, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it's weird.
I'm pretty sure that's the case, to, yeah, where they'd have to win that game, another. Then, yeah, they'd play the final, which I think this year starts the first year where that's going to be in the Smoothie King Center.
I believe so, yes. I'd have to kind of double check. But I think they're going to wind up – I know they're starting this whole crazy, like, smart schedule next year, which is – I'm still trying to wrap my head around, but yeah, that's a whole different story for a whole different day.
Smart schedule equals the cloud.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a great complex formula to talk about, but none of us really get it.
Yeah.
We had to see it play out to sort of kind of nod our head and tell our friends at a party, yeah, I know the cloud works. I get smart scheduling. No, you freaking don't. But the fact remains this. The Cajuns are 7-7. If they could find a way to three wins out of these next four, especially defending home court and getting back over on the Chanticleers and the Mountaineers. I mean, these teams embarrass them on the road in the states of North and South Carolina, respectively, brother. Embarrass them. So if Bob Marlin's group, which has won three of four, can win three out of the next four, if you're 6 out of 8 coming down the stretch and 10-8 in Sun Belt play, I think you'll take your chances from there, because then you start to look up above you. And the teams that are currently ahead of the Cajuns in the standings, and even Texas Arlington, which is only one spot ahead, is two games ahead. So UT Arlington, 9-6. Both of the Georgia teams are 10-5. And then Texas State, which frankly the Cajuns came from behind this last weekend, had every, yep, chance at the horn to beat them. Texas State is 11-4. And so your opportunities of finishing strong and then having some of these guys in the semis, in the finals, the prospects look better now than they did 3 weeks ago when I was watching them give up quite literally a hundo plus a few inside the Cajun Dome.
Yeah, that's kind of what I talked about on Monday during Under the Dome to kind of wrap up the show on Monday, which, by the way, if you missed, you can check out on 1037thegame.com.
Just pimping over there. Pimping, hey, ain't easy, but it's understood, Clint.
Yeah, I'm in the box, so why not?
I like that. Jim Rome reference.
Yes.
I still listen from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And listen up as we head into a break. The Lady Lions softball backers are hosting a crawfish bowl fundraiser Friday, March the 8th at Lafayette High School. Plates, $16 for 3 pounds of potatoes boiled by Mandessa Seafood Bar and Grill. Pickup will be at the Lafayette High Gym parking lot on Friday, March 8th. That's a week from this Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Tickets can be purchased by emailing Meredith Disher at meredith.disher@gmail.com or call up 739-2969. A very limited quantity will be available for purchase the day of the event. Please purchase your tickets no later than March 1st. That's this Friday. And help out Lafayette High School and the Lady Lions softball backers. All right, halfway home in this 5 o'clock hour. When we return, Fran McCaffrey lost his mind for Iowa basketball and a little bit of wordplay, not the good kind, for an NFL Network analyst today at the Combine. Yeah, you've heard this kind of joke made before, except it really happened. Then Christopher Kovach at 5:45. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Busy times talking basketball, some football, a little baseball as well. Just exploring the space with you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D for about another 25 minutes. At 6 o'clock, Don Allen and company take over. Five Guys Stories and Lies, Danny Broussard will be here inside the 237 Roof Studios for the 7 o'clock hour. That will be fun. Cougars last night dusted off Thomas Jefferson 68-42. And they've advanced now to the state quarterfinals, an all-area affair coming up Friday at the Cougar Dome. Number 4, STM. Number 5, David Thibodeau. CD, you've pulled the mic close to your face. What say you?
Ah, this is going to be a fun show for Five Guys Stories and Lies. But Friday, man, that's gonna be a fun ball game between STM and David Thibodeau.
Thought you were about to say how excited you were Friday about Rufino's, but no,
well,
you are right.
That too. Like, don't get me wrong. That's awesome.
The basketball going down Friday involving area teams is going to be just absolutely stupid. And look, that's not the only matchup. In fact, the one I think most people have their eyes on as far as two area teams that are playing, Brobridge hosting Westgate is going to be mind-blowingly awesome. If I weren't doing a show at Rufino's, sticking around after, yeah, I mean, because you know if I'm going over there, I got to go get some of those braised pork cheeks. That's just part of what I do. But if I weren't, I would be at the Westgate Brobridge basketball game. 6-3, state quarterfinals, right to go to Lake Chuck. That is going to be a whole lot of fun. And so, yeah, Thursday, Friday, we'll have some more high school basketball talk on the show, but not quite as much today. And even as I say that, I realize that in 10 minutes, Christopher Kovach of the Karen Crew Golden Bears will join us. They're going to take on Livonia at home this Friday night in their Class 4A state quarterfinal matchup. Before we get to any of that, though, it's time for your daily reminder. Really, it's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or your business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the customized patio covers with the cypress accents, the standing seam metal awnings, and the retractable shades and screens. And know that you can trust their management. Top down, it starts with Mark to help you create visions and then execute them. You can trust their professional installers inside your home as well. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all. For the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
We got a twofer today. Clint's going to take part one because this is where the most meat on the bone is. Fran McCaffrey, head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes. He doesn't like perceived cheating, Clint.
He does not like it at all, Ben. In fact, when it's all about it, whenever it happens to his son, Connor McCaffrey, who's a guard for the team, both received technical fouls in a 90-70 loss to the Ohio State last night. And after the game, Fran McCaffrey screamed to the referee, "You cheating, redacted.
Bleepers.
You're a censored for radio disgrace." So you can use your imagination to figure out what was exactly said. And then, of course, in the press conference, didn't talk about it. It's just, my goodness, the dude just went all in.
It's not the first time that Fran McCaffrey has lost it following an Iowa game this year. maybe they need to paint the home locker room pink inside of the basketball stadium. We know the visiting locker room, if you go to Kinnick Stadium, that's Iowa football, is pink. Maybe Freya needs to be surrounded by a little bit of pink, maybe a little bit of estrogen type of feel, because out and out calling the referees cheating bleepers.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you one thing. If you can get fined for what you say in a postgame press conference, if you say that and that's picked up audibly, visually, after a game, you need to be popped as well. So hopefully the Big Ten won't let this one slide.
Oh, no, they're not letting this one slide. In fact, this came out about an hour ago. 2-game suspension for Fran McCaffrey.
Good for – you know what? I don't often say this, but good for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Tell your kids about undefeated Iowa before it's too late.
I think it was already too late.
That joke 2 years ago about their football team will never get old. And apparently, neither does the Steve Levy special from the mid-90s. And shame on me. I had the player's name in front of me, and now I don't have it anymore. My apologies. The interwebs, they move quickly like that. But Steve Levy, working for the mothership back in the mid-90s, tried to refer to a player's bulging disc, except it's a little bit like the movie that comes on TNT all day long on Christmas Day, right?
Christmas Story.
It's a little bit like A Christmas Story, but I didn't say fudge.
There we go.
But he didn't say disc. He said a body part that, well, it hits a little bit below the belt. Boom, pun intended. And today, I don't know if this was a throwback mistake here, kind of like you watch the dunk contest CD and they're all throwback dunks at this point, but Mike Giardi of the NFL Network referred to a player's bulging, but he didn't say disc. And so, look, it's tough. I talk for 2 to 3 hours every day. Things can come out of your mouth that you don't mean to. Mistakes happen, but boy, that's one that hits a little close to home for all the guys out there. Steve Levy went down that path in the 90s. Mike Giardi, come on down.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Clint, it's the old bulging disc joke.
Yes, and it gets even better because Andrew Siciliano wound up saying, hope he gets that fixed in response to it.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I hope you get that fixed, and I hope it's really, really super confidential. All right, final break of the hour of the show. When we return, the real Coach K. I'm going to keep speaking that into fruition. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Christopher Kovach next on 103.7 The Game.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 103.7thegame.com. Get in on the conversation. Call on the game hotline. 706-0111. 706-0111.
Getting ready for the state quarterfinal round. Boys basketball playoffs in this state. And we're going to talk a little Karen Crow basketball right about now. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Quickly out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Head basketball coach of the Karen Crow Golden Bears, Christopher Kovach, good enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
I'm good, man. A little bit tired. I don't have much of a voice, but I'm glad to be where I am right now.
I think you and every coach in this state will be happy to get your sleep in about 10 or 11 days, right?
Yeah. Last night, you know, kind of amped up. That was a tremendous game that we had at home last night. Energy. When I texted Coach Mac Jones from Huntington after, he's got one heck of a team, a humongous team that just came with it last night. And I told him just what a, you know, kudos to them. That was one of the most intense games that I've ever personally been a part of in my whole life.
Your team scored 100 in an opening round win over Pearl River, but you mentioned last night, and they're not easy at this point going forward, as you know, 60-53 over Huntington. How did that regional round game kind of unfold late?
It all seems like a blur looking back at it right now. they just exploded in the first quarter. They came out with tons of energy, and we were a little off from a shooting standpoint, I think. And we thought that, the zone press into zone into our 2-3 zone defense, which we really hadn't played a lot of lately, was really going to be effective for us. And we made a couple big plays early on, and they have a couple guys that can just light it up. And we made a couple defensive adjustments, and we're able to hold them to only 5 points in the second quarter. And that was a big rallying point for us. And we still went in down a little bit, and then, you know, kind of went back and forth. There were some emotional sways and pushes throughout the course of the game. And I want to say that we were down 5 at one point when Jatrell Marks connected to Joe Charles for a monster alley-oop dunk. And then we were kind of putting the pressure on a little bit harder and harder, and got another steal right there. And Traylon Prejean, who we all affectionately know as Popcorn, I think most of Lafayette knows him as Popcorn, got the pass up to Joe again, back-to-back plays, and Joe almost broke the rim on that one. And the place just went nuts. It was an electric atmosphere, and I think we just kind of put it on from that moment on.
Talking shop right now with Christopher Kovach on Twitter, at CHS Coach K. And obviously Joe Charles, the sophomore, rightly gets a lot of the pub. Julian Landor in the interior, same thing. But give me a little bit more on your perimeter players and how they've contributed to a team that's heading back to the state quarterfinals.
You know, the greatest thing about last night was it was a different set of guys, honestly. You know, we're balanced. I mean, I think we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We had eight guys scoring in the books last night. And two of the guys that did the biggest job last night were, in fact, Traylon Prejean was just a sophomore, and big man Holden Pellerin, who's a 6'6" junior. Guy's got a 4.0 GPA. They're the ones that really led the charge. I mean, everybody kind of did their role. It was a great thing within last night. You know, Julian Landor pulls down 19 rebounds. You know, Jatrell and Artrell Marks each had their touch on the game. Bailey Despany was a beast everywhere on the court. A young guy, Byron Fobbs, who's just really coming into his own, had some big minutes for us. But it was really Pellerin and Prejean who had the big nights for us last night. Holden had 13 points and 7 rebounds, along with a host of other stats. And it was the kind of thing that you want to see as you're getting to this point to really have a more effective bench and a more balanced group, because we had gotten down to where we were playing less kids. And these younger guys are really, they're just one of our mantras, get better every day. And they're living it right now, Ben. And that's one of the big, big things for us right now that's really given us a shot to, you know, to get back to Lake Charles.
We'll talk about your matchup now Friday night. It's a quarterfinal game, 7 p.m. tip-off from the Bear Cave, Carencro hosting Livonia. And at least from a home court standpoint, I think you got something last night that happened in your favor, right? Woodlawn Shreveport, who you beat last year in the finals, they lost because they had to take a long road trip in parts of Livonia. So at least in terms of being able to play at home 3 straight rounds, hey, that's nice. But that Livonia team you're going to play, I'd love to get some insight. But everything I continue to hear, they are not to be trifled with.
No, they are very, very, very athletic. You know, we got to work late last night on them into the wee hours of the morning, and got back up early again today and devoted the whole day to preparing for them. And our guys were on computers for a couple hours today, doing their own scouting work on them. Can't throw out names on these guys yet, as we're really not all that familiar with them. But three guys in particular that they have, just exceptional athletes. A couple of them can really shoot the ball well. They're a team on a mission right now. You know, just in terms of they've got nothing to lose. You know, they didn't set the world on fire with their record and in district. You know, they started the year off really well, And then, you know, they hit some rough patches in district, and there are some tough games to be had in that league. I don't know that it's the caliber of our league. You know, when you look at the yearly byproducts right now, you know, at least at this point, and you've got Brobridge in there, so dominant in there this past year. You know, what a great job that Chad Porcio has done, you know, the last couple years there, and especially this year doing double duties. But these guys, they just come in, they hit the glass hard. They play hard. They get in your face defensively. It's a very physical style. They change defenses quite often, and they did a ton of penetration and kicking the ball back out, finding the open guy. They're very, very unselfish. They're definitely going to present a big challenge for us come Friday night.
Finishing up now with Christopher Kovac, and to let all of our listeners know, one more Karen Crow win, and we will have semifinal and, if possible, final ball games next Tuesday. How about that for a Mardi Gras treat? And Friday from Lake Charles, it'll be on our sister station, Z105.9. But again, first things first, and you've got your game Friday night against Livonia. Coach, part of the reason I love having you on is because you know so much about the surrounding area. I think that the other quarterfinal game involving area teams in Class 4A is just going to be dynamite. So what's your, I guess, initial outlook on Westgate, who you know very well, at Brobridge?
I tell you what, it's really an intriguing matchup. This will be the third time that they've played. You know, they split thus far. It could be a battle of contrasting styles when you look at how Westgate likes to get up and down the court offensively. They're not scared to shoot the ball from anywhere on the court. I'm still having flashbacks from a couple shots they took against us last time that were from the half-court circle that were nothing but net that we could just do nothing about. And then you contrast that with Brobridge's pack line man-to-man defense where they just, you know, they've got the big bodies and they pack it in inside. It's going to be, they can kind of match each other big for big. You know, I think Westgate's speed could present problems, as a whole for Brobridge. But I think game location has a lot to do with this one. And I think that could be what solves it in the end. I know Coach Oliver Winston has talked before about how much better they shoot the ball at home versus on the road. So, you know, it's going to be an intriguing matchup. Westgate has the advantage when it comes to experience. I mean, this is a team that's coming off back-to-back top 28 years already. Brobridge, you know, victimized at the last second last year by Warren Easton at home. So it's two teams was definitely something to prove. So I wish I could be a fly on the wall and watch that game as well Friday night.
The Bear Cave is going to be lit. There's no question about it, and it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, at Brobridge as well. Coach, we're running out of real estate here. Thanks for doing this. I know you're exhausted, but, again, sleep comes in 10 days. Do your work between now and then.
I'm looking forward to both ends of each, Ben. Thanks, and thanks for having us always and being a proponent for high school basketball in the city of Lafayette.
Love having that guy on. That's Christopher Kovac. Part of the reason I love having him, well, sometimes I text him early in the mornings to set up these interviews, and the dude was preparing a Socrates lecture a week or two ago when we talked about this. So a student of history, no question. All right. Thanks to Brian Snow, Mac Chiwilli, and Christopher Kovac. Coming up, you got Five Guys Stories and Lies, and then after that, the Will Wade Show at 8 o'clock. So no LSU baseball tonight on Acadiana Sports Station, but I think all systems are go in Baton Rouge. It's going to be the first start of the year for Eric Walker. And follow James Moran for the latest. He's got the starting lineup posted. Action from the box. You're going to have to follow it on the Twitter machine, at least for tonight. Thursday, we'll be out at the Tap Room. Friday at Rufino's. Enjoy your evening. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on